Our text this morning is going to be 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. As you make your way there to that passage, I must admit I am somewhat apprehensive this morning. When I woke up, I had multiple calls and texts about a certain situation going on in Jacksonville. And also, my son is preaching about this time. So, you know, 3 John says, I have no greater joy than to see that my children are walking in truth. So it's just kind of a neat thing. So if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to just pray and ask the Lord to help us and John Caleb this morning. Father, thank you again for your kindness and your grace. Thank you for the gospel, that it is the power of God to salvation to all who believe. And Father, I pray for John Caleb this morning that you would give him great grace as he communicates your truth. Thank you for his willingness and faithfulness to serve you and to stand in for me this weekend while I'm away. And I pray that you would just help us this morning to clear our minds and the anxiousness that maybe some of us have. I definitely do. So I ask that you would just give us grace and strength this morning. Indeed, fill us with your Spirit, empower us by your grace, and I pray that the Spirit of God would use the Word of God in our lives this morning for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. What I'd like to do before we land in verses 1 to 5 is I'd really like for you to back up to chapter 3 to maybe just kind of lay a little bit of context to what Paul is going to be giving Timothy in chapter 4. Chapter 3 verse 1 really opens up with a warning about the condition of the church in the latter days. Okay, the latter days started with Christ, and it will end with the second coming of Christ. When you look at the first part of chapter 3, Paul really gives 18, maybe 19, depending on how you divide some of the things there, descriptions of what the last days are going to look like. As time goes on, there is going to be, as he says, perilous or desperate and fearful times. They are going to grow in intensity and may be different at different times, but this is the description that Paul gives to Timothy, and he says, I want you to expect it, okay? Timothy, this is what the future of things are going to look like, and I need you to be aware of that. In chapter 3, he's making some comparing and contrasting about those who are faithfully walking with the Lord and those who are not. I think in the back of Paul's mind, he is concerned that Timothy does not become another Demas. Because when you get to chapter 4, verse 9, Paul says, do your best to come to me soon, because for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. I think in Paul's mind, he wants to warn Timothy. He wants to encourage him, but he wants to let him know the challenges of the ministry should not distract you and deter you. You need to expect them. They're going to happen. Paul talks about this apostasy and this turning away. And really, verse 14 of chapter 3, I think, is the theme of chapter 3 with a command. Notice what Paul says, but continue thou in the things which you have heard and learned and have been assured of, knowing from who you have learned it, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, or the writings. That probably would have been majority Old Testament scriptures. And those were able to make you wise to salvation. You receive them, chapter 1, from your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. You also received instruction from Paul. Timothy, I want you to remember, I want you to continue. That word continue is an imperative. I want you to remain in what you have learned. There is a danger in the Christian life to walk away from truth. And I think that's what Paul is trying to warn Timothy of. As we inch closer and closer to our Lord's return, persecution and troubles will come. Challenges, they're just there. You need to expect it. But what are you going to do when those challenges come? We don't retreat. We can't walk away. And we need to be careful. We need to guard ourselves from the danger of walking away from truth. What's interesting is Paul is going to give Timothy here in chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, some instruction for that. When Paul talks about in the previous chapter, chapter 3, about what you've learned and you heard and continue in it, he's emphasizing the importance of the Word of God. What is the antidote for the child of God? It's the Word of God. Okay? What is the resource that we have? It is the Word of God. Where can we turn to in troubled times? It is the Word of God. The only thing that will satisfy the soul when we are hurting is the Word of God. And it has been well said, there are two things that are going to last for eternity. The Word of God and the souls of men and women. And we must invest in the Word of God, and we need to touch people's lives with the Word of God. And so that's why Paul says there in 16 and 17 of chapter 3, all Scripture is inspired by God. It's breathed out. And it's profitable for teaching, for correction, for instruction, for training in righteousness. For what purpose? So that you will be fully mature. In other words, the Word of God has the ability to fit you out for life. It will meet every need that you have. That's kind of what's going on in chapter 3. So then you get to chapter 4, and Paul is going to give Timothy direct instruction. Notice what he says. I solemnly order, or I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Here is a solemn order that Paul is giving to Timothy, and he really summons two witnesses to back up this order. It's God and Jesus Christ. And notice, it is the one who's going to judge. And he's going to, and when is he going to do it? He is going to do it at his appearing and his kingdom. When the Lord returns, and we are looking for the Lord to return in the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15. For us as believers, we're going to face the judgment seat of Christ, aren't we? You heard Matthew 25 this morning. That's the judgment of the unsaved of all the ages. They're going to face the same kind of judgment. The appearing and the kingdom is a for sure event, okay? And so is the judgment. And when Jesus comes, he is going to make everything right. He is going to judge the false teachers for what they're doing. He is going to judge believers, not necessarily in a bad sense, because the judgment seat of Christ is a time of blessing and reward, but it will be a time of loss. So we need to be careful and watch. Notice what Paul says in verse 2. Paul is going to lay out five imperatives for Timothy. Timothy, this is what I want you to do to avoid the dangers of walking away from the truth. Notice what he says. Preach the word. Keruxon ton logon. Herald the truth. Communicate the word. Of all of the things that Paul could have told Timothy to do, you think that maybe he would have given this other laundry list of things that he could do to avoid the dangers. But Paul focuses really on what is important. What does the world need? It needs the gospel. It needs the word. What do you need? You need the gospel. You need the word. You need to daily preach the gospel to yourself. I am saved and I am being saved. It's not that I'm getting saved all over again, but I am continually reminding myself of the gospel message and why Jesus died for me, why he has rescued me from darkness to light. And that motivates us to preach the word, to herald the truth. It forces us to stay in the scriptures. If you remember, maybe you've studied Timothy before, but if you remember back in chapter 2, verse 15, Paul is going to say, study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, correctly handling the truth. Listen, when we walk away from truth, we open ourselves up to error. And Paul's going to talk about that more here in chapter 4. So, number one, Paul says, I want you to preach the word. I want you to herald the message. Listen, the greatest thing that you can do is give the gospel to people. And if you haven't had a chance to pick up some of those verses that I had printed out, I think there's might be one pack left, but I have more. I would challenge you and encourage you to invest in memorizing scripture, memorizing the gospel message so that you can give it to people. You know, what does that look like? Well, it looks like this. Tomorrow morning when you've got to go to the grocery store, you know, I'm going to be ready to give it to somebody. Or when I walk into the office, I'm going to be looking for opportunities. We need to preach the word. Notice what he says, the second thing in verse 2. I want you to be instant, in season, and out. I want you to be diligent. Literally, I want you to be ready. I want you to stand by. I want you to be ready for opportune times and inopportune times. And most of the time, ministry comes at inopportune times. When you least expect it, or when you really don't want it to happen, that's when somebody's going to knock on your door, or you're going to run into someone and you don't have time. You just need to be ready. Paul tells Timothy, listen, you need to be diligent, whether it's convenient or not. Notice the third thing. You need to reprove. It's the idea of stating something that someone has done wrong. And that's the job of the preacher. At times, you have to tell somebody when they've done wrong. And as a believer, you may have to have those conversations with others. We need to be reproving. We also, fourthly, need to be rebuking. This word actually goes a little bit further, and it can assign blame to the individual. And it really expresses strong disapproval. So we need to be available, whether it's convenient or not. We need to be reproving. We need to be rebuking. Notice the fifth thing. We need to be exhorting. Exhorting with all long-suffering and doctrine or teaching. Encouragement. Providing comfort to those who need comfort. And how do you do that? It's not just sympathizing with them and saying, oh, I know where you are because I've been there. It's using the Word of God to speak to the issues of their heart. Only the Spirit of God can use the Word of God in that way. Yes, I think sometimes the Lord does use our illustrations and experiences as opportunities to connect with people. But at the end of the day, it's going to be the Word of God that's going to satisfy a soul and comfort a heart. And notice what he says. I want you to do it with all longsuffering, with all patience. Because sometimes it's not easy to wait and be patient. But do it with teaching, with instruction from the Word. Timothy, this is how I want you to avoid the dangers of walking away from truth. Preach the word, be ready, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Why? Why do you need to do that? Well, look at verse 3. Because there is going to come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. There is going to come a time in the future when they... So the challenge, I started asking myself, who is they? You know, Paul is writing to Timothy, who is instructing the church, right? Sometimes we tend to think, well, maybe this is talking about unbelievers. I mean, at what point do unbelievers not endure with sound doctrine? Well, they never do. They're lost. They're dead in their trespasses and sin. I mean, if Paul is talking about unbelievers here, you might get the idea that he's talking about a works-based salvation. I think Paul is addressing the believers here. I think there is a danger for all of us to become complacent, to get comfortable, to get distracted, to get caught up in life. And that happens, doesn't it? And that's why we need to be careful, and we need to watch and pray that we don't enter into temptation. The psalmist would say, Lord, order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. There is a danger for us to become complacent. And we can easily walk away or drift away. If you've ever read the book of Hebrews, there are all of these warning passages in Hebrews, and one of them talks about drifting away. It's the idea of a sail on a ship, and the wind is just kind of blowing it slowly away. And as you walk a little bit away, it takes you further and further and further from truth. And then you get into a traumatic situation or into trouble, and you think, how in the world did I get here? We got there one step at a time, one decision at a time. The church needs to be on guard. You know, if every age has a test, failure, a judgment, what would be the failure of the church age? Have you ever thought of that? You know, what are we commanded to do? We're commanded to make disciples, to go into all the world and make disciples. That's our responsibility. We as missionaries get the privilege of doing the ministry full time. The rest of y'all have to work for a living. But you are just as much a missionary as we are. I mean, we're no different. We are all in this together. And this is the ministry. So Paul warns Timothy. He says, listen, there's going to come a time. This is why you need to be diligent about preaching and being ready to give the gospel to people and do it with patience and long-suffering and teaching. Because there will come a time when your door or window of opportunity is gone. And I think it directly applies to the church, but you know what? It can also apply to the unbeliever as well. In other words, if God puts it upon your heart to talk to somebody, we need to be obedient to the Spirit. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. We struggle with that, don't we? But we need the encouragement to continue on, because there will come a day when that door, that window of opportunity, is going to close. They're not going to endure sound doctrine. Notice what they're going to do. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. In other words, those who are going to drift away from the truth, they are literally going to surround themselves with people that will tell them what they want to hear, instead of listening to the truth of the word. They're going to turn to people who are going to tickle their ears. Here it says, "Who have itchy ears?" They have certain things that they want to hear. They don't want to hear truth. They've become numb to truth. And so they're going to gravitate to people that are going to tell them what they want to hear. And it's going to take them further and further from the truth. Notice verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Notice the first part of verse 4. They shall turn away from the truth. That's active. The potential danger of all of us to actively turn from truth. But then notice the end of verse 4, the passive aspect. If you intentionally turn away from truth, the end result is it's going to carry you further away than you ever thought it would do. And that's the danger. Because there's just a slow, subtle shifting. So that's why we need to stay in the Word. That's why we need to read the Word. That's why we need to memorize the Word. Because remember, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, this Word that's breathed out from God can fit me out for life. It has the ability to reprove and rebuke, instruct, correct. It helps me in every area. And it will keep us on track. Our theme is sending the light or giving the gospel out. Here in 2 Timothy 4, Paul is commanding Timothy in that same way. Get the message out. Take advantage of the opportunities that you have. Because there's coming a day when that opportunity is going to go away. My father-in-law, early in his life, family life, felt a burden to go to Bible college. His parents were missionaries to Papua New Guinea and church planters up in Upper Michigan. In fact, his father was a pastor of a church up there. And he felt a call and a burden to go to Bible college. And he did for one semester. And when he got there, it was hard. It was challenging. And he gave it up. And ever since that one decision to give that up, now I don't question his salvation. That's not the issue. But ever since he made that one decision, you can kind of see where there was just kind of an intentional kind of drifting away. And so you fast forward to where he is today, and now he has Alzheimer's and struggling with dementia and other issues. His opportunities are gone. His window is closed. Now, can the Lord work through that and rescue in situations? Yeah, he can. But I just look at that as a personal illustration for myself. That you don't know what the future holds. And if the Lord is burdening any of us to do anything, we need to be obedient and follow the Lord. And that goes for salvation. If you know you are not saved, if you're lost, you've never trusted Christ, you've never experienced a transformation, then you need to trust Christ today. You need to make that decision. Listen, you don't know. You have no idea what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes, let alone tomorrow or next week. While you hear his voice, answer it. Call on him. We need to be careful. We need to guard our walk with the Lord. We need to be careful that we don't drift away, because it is so easy to be distracted by the things of the world. Notice verse 5, our last verse here. Paul is going to close really with four more commands. What is the child of God to do? Timothy, what are you to do? You need to expect the challenges and the disappointments and the temptations expect that you're going to be depressed and struggling at times, but take advantage of those opportunities, and because that window's going to close. So what do you do? Verse 5, Watch in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. The word watch, endure, do, and make are all commands. That word watch literally means to be sober-minded. It's a word from, you know, a lack of being drunk, not being drunk. Timothy, I want you to be sober-minded. Remember when he said, I want you to be ready in season and out? Be diligent. We are to be sober-minded. We need to be aware of what's going on around us, not just for safety's sake, but for ministry opportunities. Because God is going to bring people into all of our lives that we can touch with the Word of God. And so we need to be sensitive to the leading and the working of the Spirit. We need to be sober-minded. Notice the second thing. You need to endure affliction. You need to endure suffering. Timothy, just expect it. You are going to experience suffering. If you haven't yet, you will. And multiple times. I don't know on this side of heaven that we will ever get out of it. There's always something going on. But a test of a man's character is what it will take to stop him. So we need to keep going. And we need to expect that troubles are going to come. Demas and some others who walked away, we don't know why they walked away, but apparently they walked away because maybe the pressure was too great. So here Paul encourages Timothy, look for the suffering, expect it, and know that God is working all things to the praise of his glory. Notice the third thing there, do the work of an evangelist. This is not the office of evangelist, but he's saying do evangelistic work. Whatever you do, whenever, wherever you go, be ready to get that gospel message. And sometimes maybe it is a tract. Maybe it's just giving somebody a verse. Or maybe it's giving an encouragement. But we need to do the evangelistic work. God has not saved you to just save you to get you to heaven. He has saved you to get the message of the gospel to a lost and dying world. And you can reach people that I will never see. I will reach people on a military base that you will never see. And so I need to pray for you, and you need to pray for me, that we will be sensitive. Listen, when I shared with you last night about that Marine that committed suicide in his house right behind us, and the other Marine that committed suicide up the street, you know, it is a sobering reminder of the challenges and the struggles around us. There are a lot of people hurting, and we need to be careful. We need to be sober-minded, and we need to do this evangelistic work. And then notice, lastly, we need to make full proof of the ministry. Literally, fully perform your duties as a minister, Timothy. And so you and I need to do the same thing. You have a ministry. Whether you realize it or not, you are. You're either a missionary or you are a mission field. One or the other. And just because you don't have the title pastor or missionary or whatever does not mean that you are not. You are. You are a saint. You are a blood-bought saint with the truth and the message of the gospel. We have the words of life or the words of death. And we need to fully perform our duties that the Lord has given us. This is Paul's instruction to Timothy. This is this solemn charge and order. And you know from reading Timothy that really Paul is on his deathbed. These are really his last instructions. So Timothy, the judge is about to be judging. He's getting ready to come. This is what I want you to do. Verse 2. And this is how I want you to be, verse 5. Watch, endure, do, and make. So when you come to the end of a passage like this, and you kind of see a list of things things, there is a temptation to say, okay, I get it, John. I need to do these things. And I need to really work hard at getting these things done. Okay? I would say if that's your mindset, you're already on the road to failure. Because it's not in your ability to do these things. It's in the power of the Spirit to do them. In other words, God does not expect you to do these things on your own. He knows that you can't do them. That's why he has given you the Holy Spirit. And that's why I appreciate you praying that the Lord would fill us with the Spirit, that we could walk by means of the Spirit, that the word of Christ would dwell in us richly, as Paul says in Colossians. All of this can be accomplished in the power of the Spirit. So what does that look like? Well, it looks like tomorrow morning before I get out of bed or at some point I need to get into the Word of God. I need to confess my sin. I mean, it's as simple as that. If there's anything in my life that is an offense to God or the Spirit, I want the Lord to bring it to my mind so I can make it right. And then I want to walk in Christ. I want that word to dwell in me richly. I want to walk by means of the Spirit. I want him to dominate my life. And when I'm walking by means of the Spirit, and you know Ephesians, you see the evidences of all of that. The evidences don't produce the walking of the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit, okay? And then we are going to be speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Then we're going to be singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. That's inward and outward. Verse 20, we're going to be giving thanks for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have a thankful spirit. Verse 21, we're going to be submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. The only way that the church is going to be able to submit to one another, it's going to be the work of the Spirit. And the only way that we're going to really do ministry and really fulfill what Paul has laid out in 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 5, is when the Spirit of God is at work in our hearts and our lives. And he will do the work through you. It's an incredible truth and transformation when you realize that it's no longer you that's doing these things, but it's the Spirit of God. I would encourage you, if you've ever read the book by Lewis Berry Chafer, He That Is Spiritual, that is a good resource to read. We can accomplish these things by the Spirit of God. But the other challenge is this. If you're not saved, you're not even in the game. I mean, you're still dead in your trespasses and sins. You are an enemy of God. You are an alien. And God's wrath is literally resting on you. So you need to turn your heart to the Lord. If the Spirit of God is convincing you that you are not saved, then you need to deal with that. You need to confess your sin, and you need to turn to him, and you need to trust Christ as your Savior. And the Lord will bring about transformation. And that's being obedient, whether saved or unsaved, that's being obedient to the work of the Spirit in all of our lives. And by God's grace, we can do these things for his glory and honor. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for this instruction from Paul to Timothy and to us. When we consider the challenges around us today, the struggle that humanity is going through today is no different than in other ages. And the reality of the solution is no different either. It's the gospel. It's Christ. And so we thank you for the work of Christ on the cross for us. Thank you for sending him And so, Father, we would commit ourselves to you this morning, and I pray that you would help us by the Spirit to walk faithfully with you. Pray that you would order our steps in your word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over us. Help us to be obedient to you for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.